Praise God. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a great chapter, and you know, it's one you need to look at often and get it in your heart, because it just shows you what God's attitude is towards you, His heart towards you, His plan towards you. But let's go on down to verse 14, talking about living a long, satisfied life. And it's from these scriptures here where I get this satisfied life from. But Psalm 91, verse 14 says, "Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer Him." Don't you love that? "I will be with Him in trouble." Those going through trouble today know He is with you. "I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation." And that word satisfy, I just kind of studied that word out. And the equivalent word in the New Testament to this Hebrew word here is the word used in John 10:10 about the abundant life. And it means superabundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, extraordinary, and more than sufficient. And that's the Lord's plan. And again, we've talked about this. There are trials and tribulations. There is an enemy that's out to steal, kill, and to destroy. But this is God's plan for us to live a long, satisfied, abundant life. And a key to living a long, satisfied life is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And let's look at, I don't think I have it in my reference. I think it's verse 19, guys. Is that right? "I call heaven and earth," is that what it is? Yeah. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." And I find it interesting that these blessings are available to us. We've got a covenant with God. But there is a choice on our part. We must choose God. We must choose His blessings. We must choose His word, choose His ways. And so I've instead of, you know, calling them points, I've been calling them choices. And in the sermon that I did a couple weeks ago, I had three different choices. First of all, choice number one was to choose Him. And I don't have time to go back and summarize these things. But choice number two was choose His purposes. These are all could be sermons in themselves, sermon series. Choice number three is choose the right words. You know, and really you could do a message on words every other week, and it'd probably be good. You can never get too much about that. But choice number four is to choose health and healing. Choose health and healing. We've heard this many times. God's created us in three parts. We are a spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body. The spirit is the real you on the inside. When this body's laid down, our spirit leaves and goes to be with the Lord. So the spirit, although you can't see it, that's the real me. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then we live in this body. This body is a covering for our spirit and our soul. Now, the deal is you cannot have authority in the earth without a body. That's why it's important that we, you know, how we take care of our bodies. Because if we don't have a body, you can't operate in this earth. And how many want to function in the earth? And it's important as you live this long, satisfied life that you have a healthy body. So we need to know what God's will is concerning health and healing. Our faith begins where the will of God is known. And we've heard this, and the tax man told me this one time. It's so true. Ignorance is not bliss. It's not a good thing to be ignorant of God's word and His plan. And some well-meaning people have, you know, really followers of God have, you know, thought it was God's will for them to be sick, that it was God's training method, or it was part of their, you know, growing in their faith was to be sick, that God was doing these things to teach and to train. And we know clearly that's not God's will. But if you don't know, I mean, see how it could hinder your faith or hinder your faith walk. So we need to know what God's will is. So let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, in these verses in here, we'll use these a lot on the street or in sharing the gospel with someone, because it's so clear, 8, 9, and 10, about how someone is saved or born again. But let's look at verse 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." So we talk about faith being in your heart and in your mouth. "That is the word of faith which we preach." Now, I want you to hold your place. Now, this is complicated now. I want you to hold your place in Romans 10 and then flip, because we're going to come back to it, flip back to Proverbs chapter 4. Y'all got that? Hold your place in Romans 10, flip back to Proverbs 4. Because we talked in words 2 weeks ago about the power of our words. And we said that words contain things. Remember that? That our words are containers. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Matthew 4 says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we need food for our physical bodies to live. And he's saying that, God is saying there, that we need the word to live. We don't just live by physical food. We need food from heaven. But in Proverbs chapter 4, it talks about the impact of the word on our bodies. Because we know that the word affects our spirits. When we're born again, we're recreated by the word. But then it talks about the word of God washing our souls. That's important. But then it says here, look what it says in here in Proverbs 4, verse 20. "My son, give attention to my words." Give attention to the word of God. "Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." So the word of God contains a whole lot of things. It contains wisdom. It contains peace. It contains all that God is, you know, love, all these different things. But it's clearly saying here that the word of God in itself, it contains health and healing. So we talked last time about choosing him. Well, when you choose him, you choose his word. And so it's vital that we have the word of God coming in through our ears, our eyes, and through our confession. You're not going to go wrong by speaking, meditating, thinking on the word of God. All right, now let's go back to Romans 10. Let's continue there. Romans 10 verse 9 says this, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." This is how a person is saved. They believe, they confess. What are they believing? They're believing in the resurrection. And then they confess Jesus as their Lord. And when that happens, the power of God comes. Resurrection power comes and transforms you on the inside. The Bible says you are born again. Right? "For with the heart one believes into righteousness. With the mouth confession is made into salvation." Now let's look at that word saved in verse 9. I think most of us know this. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. And I know we don't have time to study words, but as a minister, and I'm not by any means a Hebrew or Greek scholar, but I love words. I love studying words. And really has helped me in my life to understand words. And so this word saved in the Greek is the word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And it's very interesting. It you know, the definition of this word. It means to save. That's what it says here. It means to save, to heal, to cure, preserve, keep safe and sound, rescue from danger and destruction, Sozo saves the physical body from death by healing, and spiritual death by giving new life to our spirit man. So in salvation, the way I like to say it is there's a benefit package. And the moment that you're born again, you enter into God's family. You enter into His inheritance. You become His child. And this whole inheritance here on the earth is available. Now, we need to be educated. We need to renew our minds because the world is contrary to God's plan. And that's why we teach and train and study to show ourselves approved and learn about the things of God, because they don't come naturally to us. But God's got a benefit package, and I like Psalm 103 verse 1 because and through 5 because it talks about God's benefit plan, benefit package. I'll just read that to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now he's about to read you the benefits of being with God. He forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Now we could do a study on the word all, and what would it mean? All. Every. All. Forgives all your iniquities. I love that. Forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And since I've turned 50, I've been confessing verse 5. My youth is renewed like the eagles. That's a good confession, isn't it? My beak is coming off and I'm getting a new one. But part of, what I'm saying here, looking at the word saved, and I think we all know, for those that are born again, you know that at the cross and through Jesus' resurrection, that's why we believe on that, that our sins are forgiven, we're reconciled to God, we're born again, we've been given a new nature, we enter into God's family. Right? That's the message of redemption. Jesus bought us back. He paid the price for our sins. This is the gospel story, right? But there's more to the package than us going to heaven when we die. There's a whole bunch of other parts, including healing. That just like going to heaven when we die belongs to us. Salvation belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. Healing is our right. If you work for a company and you have a benefit package, and I used to work in the HR, and I was amazed at how many people didn't utilize their benefits. They had the manual. We tried to explain it to them, but they still wouldn't use their benefits. But they are entitled by right as an employee of that company to partake of those benefits. Well, health and healing is yours. Just like going to heaven, salvation of your spirit is yours. It belongs to you. And I have so gotten salvation in my heart, I am convinced I'm going to heaven when I die based on God's word. I mean, you couldn't torture it out of me. I mean, I know that I know that I know. But see, the key is, you need to take some of these other things and get them rooted in your heart the same way, as where you know that you know that you know it's yours. You've got to have a healthy body in order to live a long, satisfied life. You have to have a body to operate in the earth. So let's turn over to Isaiah 53 and we'll just really just drive this home here about what Jesus did at the cross, what Jesus did when He was raised from the dead, what He did for us. Isaiah 53. Now, Isaiah was a prophet. He was a seer. God showed him things in the future. And then he would speak them out. And that's so vital to do that, because he's actually being a part of bringing those things into the earth. They must be proclaimed. They must be spoken. So Isaiah sees into the future about the Messiah. He sees into the future about Jesus. And look at what he says here. Isaiah 53 verse 4. I'm reading from the Amplified. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men. Who are we talking about here? A man of sorrows and pains, acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains. I'm sorry, our sorrow with verse 3. And pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain our peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Now let's go on down to verse 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. And so it was not a pretty picture on the day of Calvary. Because God laid the sin of mankind, and he laid the sickness, and he laid the poverty on Jesus. He actually bore those things for us. He bore those things for us so that we don't have to bear them. And just like going to heaven when we die, that same thing, when we were saved, we now enter into God's plan, God's benefit plan concerning health and healing. And he says he heals all of our diseases. Now the big question is, are we going to choose this? Are we going to believe this? Are we going to receive this? Now we see the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 in Matthew chapter 8. Let's look at verse 16. It says this, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah. He went about preaching, teaching, and healing. Jesus came to show us God. Jesus came to show us the will of the Father. He never turned away anyone that came to him wanting to receive healing. He shows us God's heart. That's God's plan. That's God's will. Now let's go over to 1 Peter 2, verse 24. And the apostles had a revelation of this benefit package. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were. Everybody say, were. By his stripes you were healed. You were healed. When were you healed? 2,000 years ago at the cross and the resurrection. Now, I looked up the word healed here in the Greek. There we go, this Greek scholar that I am. Looked up the word healed here because you may think, well, it's spiritual healing. This is what this word means. It means to heal, cure, restore to bodily health. And in the commentary I was looking at, it says it is equivalent to the word sozo. By his stripes, you were healed. Everybody say this, by his stripes, I was healed.
By his stripes,
I was healed 2,000 years ago.
Years.
Therefore, if I was healed,
I am healed.
I am healed.
Health and healing
belong to me. It's my right
as a child of God.
So this is the spiritual side to health and healing. And I know you don't want to hear this part. There's a natural side. Wish I wouldn't have come to church today. There's a spiritual side, but then there's a natural side. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. I wonder how many people have this underlined in their Bibles and starred and circled. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You know, we talk about stewardship. Stewardship is managing the assets of another person. And we're to manage our kids and steward our kids and steward our marriages and steward our relationships and steward our finances and steward our stuff. That's all biblical, right? But there's a stewardship and a managing of our bodies. And we all know some of the points. I'll just mention them and then we'll try to move on, huh? Eating right. And eating right is not 16 candy bars. Eating right, you know, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean meats, low fat. You know, a lot of times, and I'm not picking on anybody, and I hope I probably will affect your lunch today. But I mean, you get your plate of food, and all of our food is so loaded with sodium, and we just get the salt shaker, and or we get our roll, and we get that butter. Just, I mean, it's like frosting on a cake. You know, just, I mean, how many here like sweet tea? Come on now. I mean, I went to unsweet tea because I was just like pounding down the sweet teas. And if I didn't have my sweet tea, man, it was like, or your sodas. You know, there's a problem when you cut back on your sodas and you start going through withdrawals, the shakes. With eating, moderation is the key. Maybe we'll just camp there. How many know about getting rest? Do you know what that is? Sleeping, getting rest, time for your body to charge up. I mean, God created us that way. We need that time of rest. How about this one? Exercise. You've got to, every so often, get the blood moving in your body. You know what I'm talking about? And it doesn't have to be, you know, the P90X, but do something. Work outside, walk, run, something, exercise, get the blood moving there. Now, this is a good one. Find a good doctor. Find a good doctor. Just like you need a good mechanic, you need a good lawyer, you need a good accountant, you need a good pastor. You need a good doctor. And sometimes in faith circles, medicine has gotten a bad rap. And I know that medicine can be abused by the doctor and by the person. But medicine itself is not evil. Medicine itself is from God. He is the one that's for healing. And it is so much easier to believe God for healing when you're not in excruciating pain. You could barely even think straight. So have a good doctor. And let me say this. Not only have a good doctor, but listen to your doctor. I know faith people that got advice from their doctor, which they didn't take, and they went to heaven early. Doctors are there for your good. But it's not faith in the medicine. Our faith is still in God. You know, I take medicine, but I still believe in healing. Healing is from God. So my confidence is not in my exercise routine. My confidence is not in what I eat. We need to do those things. My confidence is not in my doctor, because what are you going to do when you get a bad report? My confidence is in God, but there are certain things we're to do to take care of our body. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God will bail us out, but how many times is He going to bail us out when we don't do the things we need to do to take care of ourselves? So don't be afraid to go to the doctor. And just saying that, being afraid to go to the doctor, well, I'm afraid of what he might say. Well, my Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear. If you're afraid to go to the doctor, you need to go to the doctor. And I found that when I'm dealing, if I've got something going on in my body, I want to know what I'm dealing with. I want to know where to focus my faith. Don't just sit there and watch that, you know, bump on your leg get bigger and bigger and bigger. Do something about it. So moderation is the key. And again, don't put your faith in your ability to take care of yourself or your genetics. I've seen that happen. Our faith is in God. All right, there's a scripture in Proverbs 17. Aren't you glad I'm moving on? There's a scripture in Proverbs 17, verse 22, that says this: a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Look at what the Amplified says. A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Susie, why don't you come on? I asked Susie we were talking about this, and she had some real good things to say, and why don't you share? Make up some stuff.
Make up some stuff.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this. A merry heart does good like a medicine. And, medicine is good. Medicine, you know, aids in the healing, and it helps restore your body, and it adds to your body things that are needed. And you know, it can speed up the healing process. But let's think about that. A merry heart. You know, what is a merry heart? Well, first of all, if you look up the word merry, merry means cheerful. So it's full of cheer. And in my mind, someone who has a merry heart, there's a smile. There's some laughter. There's some, you know, enjoyment of life. I think of joy, merry heart, somebody who's filled with joy. So a merry heart, if you consistently have a merry heart, it'll be like medicine to you. Now, we certainly know this. We certainly have seen people who are just always down. We see people who are embittered, you know, bitterness. And those things can cause, you know, there are people walking around on the planet right now who are ill because they don't have a merry heart. And, you know, we won't go through scientific studies, but science has proven that your mental state and what's going on with you mentally has an effect on your body.
Right.
But yet, 16 times Paul told us to rejoice in the Lord. If we would just do what the Bible says, we would have a merry heart. Then the same, you know, apostle wrote about peace, that God would give us peace that goes beyond our understanding. You have peace and you have joy, you're going to have a merry heart. And what happens in your body is that peace, that's the absence of all that anxiety that most people have. Peace. It causes restoration in your body. Peace, your mental peace, your peace, it will bring in your body peace. It'll work itself out into your body being at rest, as opposed to your body being on edge. How many of you ever had a knotted up back and shoulders and all just from anxiety? How is that helping your body? So that's your mental side, your emotional side impacting your body. People who are in depression, people who are depressed, talk about going to your doctor. Some of you might just need to go to the doctor and say, hey, I'm kind of blue. We won't name names. But anyway, the whole issue here is when people are not merry, it has a very destructive effect on your body, but a merry heart will lift you up. And I've seen people who have come through sickness and disease, who've come through illness, not even because they have great faith in God as the healer, but because they have a merry heart.
Right.
And I can tell you, I just know in my own life, I've avoided a whole lot of sickness and disease and malfunction in my body just by embracing the joy of the Lord and just maintaining peace in my life. So many things I've missed out on. So many bad things. Then the other side of that is a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, you may not realize this. Probably most of you can remember when you were in high school and maybe sometime in your life you had biology. The bones are not just the structure of our body, which they are. Thank God. And if it's good to have strong bones and not have brittle bones that break and all of that. But the other part of our bones that's so important is our bones are where our blood is made. Our red blood cells are produced in our bone marrow. And if you have dried out bones, they're not producing good blood for you. Now, the Bible also tells us this. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is where?
Is in the blood.
The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, this is not just some theory. It literally, science has proven this, that, you know, all of the oxygen and all the nutrients our body needs are carried through the blood. But the health of our blood is so tied into the health of our bones. And a broken spirit, the Bible says, will dry your bones. The other thing that's produced in your, well, part of what's produced in your bones is things that are very necessary for maintaining your immune system. So if your immune system is down because you have a broken spirit and it's drying your bones, you're in a bad place. So you just think this one scripture, where you could meditate on this one scripture for days and get revelation here and to see how critical it is that you have a merry heart. And that you manage your emotions and that you tap into God's power when it comes to your mental well-being, that you tap into that and get peace and get joy and learn to do what the Bible says, cheer up if you want to be healthy and whole in your body. And just that one thing will cause health to spring forth in you, and it'll keep you in a place. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live on the cycle of getting sick and getting healed and getting sick and getting healed and getting sick and getting healed and getting sick. How many of you, that's the testimony you want? Well, I was sick, I got healed. I was sick, I got healed. I was sick, I got healed. I think a much better testimony is, I can't really remember when last time I was sick. You know? I mean, in our house, we're healthy. Now, do we take medicine if we need it? Yeah, but it's a rare occasion. And I'm just so thankful that the Word, it gives us life. But there's also this whole principle of a merry heart, of just keeping yourself in peace before God and walking in the joy of the Lord in your life. And I have said so many times, the most important thing you can do is fight for your peace.
Right.
Fight for peace, because that's the first part of getting a merry heart. And once you fight for your peace, then go for the joy. Ha ha! That'll help you. Some of you just got a good dose there. Ha ha! See, some of y'all, no wonder you got so much sickness. Seriously. You just need to lighten up and laugh a little more. And embrace a merry heart. It's going to help. Right then, my bones started kicking out some really good blood cells.
Nehemiah 8 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You see why the enemy is just trying to hit you, why he's trying to steal your joy? Because it has physical consequences. And, you know, the pressure and the stress. A good verses to end with. Let's end with 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Kind of bring everything together here. Verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. When you're humble, you're open to the Spirit of God. When you're humble, you're open to God's Word. When you're humble, you're open to correction. Because how many know there's just times in your life when you need to have people speak the truth in love to you. And a humble person, it's hard. It's not easy. But if you be open, I mean, there's help that comes. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I mean, that is so critical to do that. Mark 4 talks about the cares of life, robbing you of the word, robbing you of fruitfulness. The care, you know what I'm talking about? The cares of life. Cast your cares upon Him. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Yes. Steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know, I think about Acts chapter 16, about, you know, Paul and Silas, how they were beaten. They were doing the right thing. They were beaten, you know, thrown in the inner dungeon. What are they doing in there? Singing and praying. Singing and praying, rejoicing in God, giving God praise. When you least feel like praising God is the time you need to praise Him. There's just times I just have to make myself, lift my hand, make myself. But what am I doing? I mean, it's an act of faith. I just trust in You, Lord. Yeah, this is a serious trial. This is a serious situation. But I trust in You. I trust in Your Word. You've come through 1,000 times. You're going to come through this time. You've not forgotten me. You've not forsaken me. You're with me. You're standing with me. You're empowering me. You're helping me. And even when I missed it, You'll forgive me. But you got to resist it. You got to resist sickness and disease. I mean, would you resist a burglar or someone? You know, we resist weeds in our lawn, or I got a garden. All the different things I have to resist. But I want to have healthy, thriving fruit. I have to resist these different things that are trying to get to my fruit. Well, it's the same thing. You got to resist the devil. You have to have a mindset. You have to have an attitude. You have to have these things put in your heart. And so I started 30 years ago confessing God's word concerning healing. When I was younger and, you know, feeling good and feeling strong, I tell you, that's when I just confessed it and built it in. I still, to this day, there's just things I say about myself. Speak about wholeness. Speak about being healthy, strong. My mind is clear as well. Saying these things. And when anything, you know, tries to attach itself to my body, I don't just take it and just say, okay, well, isn't that wonderful? Make it mine. No, it's not mine. You're leaving in the name of Jesus. I don't accept you. You don't belong here. God made me to operate in a certain way and for this thing to function properly. But He gave us the power of the words and the authority here. The enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And we have been given the authority to deal with him. God has already dealt with the devil and has defeated him already. He's already dealt with sickness. It's already been defeated. It's under the blood. But we have to appropriate it. We have to choose life. And that's something we just have to do on a daily basis. I choose healing today. I choose joy today. I choose peace. Yes. When you choose these things, the Holy Spirit will empower you. He will aid you. He will help you walk out God's plan. But you've got to give Him something to work with, and we're the ones that open the door to Him. Yes. Amen? Yes. Praise God.